Akiva Spiegelman is my next guest. He's on the line. He's a senior Middle East analyst and commentator. We're going to be talking about the current ceasefire in Gaza and the very recent killing of an Israeli soldier. Akiva Spiegelman, thanks for chatting to me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you for having me, Simon. Good to be here.
Akiva, what do we know about the circumstances of the IDF reservist's death?
So they haven't said very much. We know that he was hit by a sniper. Again, we're currently in a ceasefire, but as everyone can tell, we're realizing our worst nightmare with this ceasefire barely holding. We see Hamas is still reluctant to retrieve all of the hostage bodies, and they've been pushing. They've been threatening our soldiers who are sitting behind the yellow line, as was agreed on the ceasefire. And yet, when we retaliate, we seem to be getting most of the backlash, as it always seems to be.
Akiva,
I
don't know if I'm wrong or not, but somewhere I seem to have read that he was killed actually in the Israeli yellow zone. Do you know if that's correct or not?
Correct. He was, again, by a sniper. And so they're not sitting on the other side and just trying to recreate what Gaza was or trying to rebuild. They're really actively trying to hurt our soldiers, who took a big step back. And I think at this point it's quite clear that it puts them in risk. And so it's a very unfortunate event, and Israel had no choice but to retaliate.
So in terms of the retaliation, I mean, I would imagine that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in a very difficult space. He doesn't have much wiggle room. On the one hand, he's been told quite categorically by Trump this ceasefire needs to hold. On the other hand, he's got an election around the corner. He can't afford the attrition of one soldier every couple of days. The Israeli public won't put up with this. What's the man to do?
Right now, we're exactly a year away from the supposed election date. Figuring it probably won't make it to there, since we have all kinds of different issues dealing right now. We have a big protest in Jerusalem as we speak of the ultra-Orthodox. It's an issue that unfortunately can't be solved due to the reluctancy of that community to take part in what we're trying to do here as a nation, I feel. And we've gotten a lot of messages from the United States, and they even have a headquarters now in Kiryat Gat, and Israelis have been questioning whether or not Israel is still a sovereign state, meaning the United States decided upon this ceasefire, and we thank Trump for what he did in bringing back the live hostages and the bodies that were retrieved. And yet for them to dictate when or when we cannot answer, or more correctly, respond to different attacks, is a very dangerous position for a country that, quite frankly, we have enemies on all borders. And when the United States tells us you can retaliate at this or that kind of level, it's quite alarming. And it's scary for us. Me, myself, as a reservist and as a American citizen, I've always put a distance between my Israeli citizenship and my American one. And here it seems to become mixed. And so to see how deep they've gotten into our decision-making process is quite alarming.
That was the whole debate earlier on this week. It might have been towards the end of last week, as to whether Israel is in fact a client state of the United States or not. I see both Vance and Netanyahu very upset at the accusation, saying it was hogwash. But the reality is there's something to the accusation, isn't there?
Definitely. Again, they have a very big headquarters now in Kiryat Gat. It's somewhere between comedy and reality of how it's being played out. There was even a skit about it in one of the comedy shows here last night about how deep they've gotten into the Israeli system. American soldiers walking around Kiryat Gat, which was a quite large city, but quite unknown outside of Israeli borders. And suddenly it's the center of this ceasefire. And so, yes, it's quite scary to see what they've done. And it's also not the first time that Trump has dictated security terms for Israel. If you remember during the war with Iran, Trump had told Israel to not retaliate after after Iran sent a bunch of missiles to end the war. And again, seeing that and hearing him telling us what we can and can't do when our security is at the line, when we have our brothers and sisters at the line, it's quite, I think, unheard of. We haven't seen this kind of engagement with them, I don't think, ever in the state of Israel.
And it's fundamental. I mean, it goes to the very core of what Zionism is, Jews deciding right. how Jews will defend themselves and not being told to do
Correct.
So. What was very unusual and which I never expected this week was to see the Qatari foreign minister actually get up and announce pretty publicly that Hamas, he was pretty unequivocal about it, that Hamas had broken the ceasefire.
It's good to hear that Qatar is finally choosing the side of justice and not terrorism. But if we're being honest, I'm not sure Qatar was a fair mediator to begin with. They've been hosting Hamas members for a very long time. Also before October 7th, and especially after it, they have a news channel, Al Jazeera, which has been endangering our soldiers for some time. There's even been some legislation against that, which was met with backlash, but I think any other country would have responded exactly the same. And so it's good to hear Qatar choosing the side of justice for once, but I'm not sure. I think it's a little bit too little too late for them to try to redeem themselves after all they've done the last few years.
I'm going to put you on the spot then and ask you to tell me how this plays out.
At this point, I don't think Israel will have the backing to reopen front in Gaza. Mostly because we received live hostages, which was our biggest goal of this war.
Yeah.
And so once we got them out, I think the legitimacy that Israel would have to restart a war is gone. Again, we're happy that the hostages are back. We wanted them back a long time ago. But without them in Gaza, there's really no justification, especially if talking about from a PR standpoint, to reopen a major strike against Gaza, which people have been showing all over media how it's in shambles. And it is. We've done a lot of damage in Gaza, again, as a retaliation of what happened on October 7th. And I think, again, every country would have reacted the same, if not worse. If you could imagine what would have happened if someone from New Jersey would have invaded New York,
for sure,
then we would have seen
for sure
New Jersey would be erased off the map.
Yeah.
And so having that kind of reality and having these kind of neighbors on the other side of the border, it'll always be a conflict. It'll always be very stressful. But I don't think that we're ever going to be able to open up that kind of attack again. And we're going to have to see. But the ceasefire from the beginning, we were very skeptical of Hamas upholding their part of the deal. And we see it now. We saw how they discovered a body, recovered it,
yeah,
and called the Red Cross. That's it's horrendous, and the world should be very aware of who we're dealing with. This is not a peace-seeking entity. This is a terrorist organization that, in its charter, is looking to destroy the state of Israel. And so we have to be very wary of our neighbors, and I hope that we can continue to gain that trust of the world to understand that if we don't take care of Hamas, they're not going to stop here.
It's interesting you say that, because in my mind, you've completely lost that battle.
Unfortunately, I think so too. We've spoken previously about Israel's Hasbara, PR, and what we've been doing with it. I think there's never been a clear message. We've had a lot of people talking and saying their piece, but we haven't really had people working together to create a message that actually brings us forward. And so I should hope at some point there's different initiatives right now, a lot of social initiatives, but also some government initiatives that are supposed to try to change the balance. There's also a lot of money involved here. We see that a lot of money was poured into this campaign by the Arab side until October 7th, and we saw it erupt right after. And so we're dealing here with substantial funds that I'm not sure the state of Israel can allocate to this, unfortunately. And it's a battle that we're, no matter what it seems we do, we're the pariah. And so we just have to, the only thing we can really do right now is to protect ourselves physically, because no one else can do it for us.
Akiva, I'm going to leave it there this afternoon. As always, thank you for your time.
Thank you.